Good morning. Welcome to those who aren't normally with us. You're very, very welcome. And to everybody else. We're going to start this morning because this morning is going to end up being a day that is quite a lot about people that we love, people that we're going to miss. We're going to start this morning by focusing wholly on God and on praising him and thanking him for everything that he has done for us. But Lord, we thank you most that you raised from the dead for us. Lord, that you have saved us. That we can move forward knowing that we are covered in your glory. That when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. Psalm 117. I'm going to read the whole thing. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. That's it. It's the shortest song. So we're going to turn our focus outwards now. We've looked at what God has done for us. Let's just spend a moment looking at his amazing world and how big and huge he is. Father God, you are amazing, indescribable. My little brain struggles even to go to another city and realize that all the people in that city have the same autonomy, the same understanding, the same emotions that I have. I can't even see that. And Lord, you have the whole universe in your grasp. Father God, we stand in awe this morning of everything that you are. And though we don't understand it, Lord, we know it is more than we can ever have. And so, Lord, we trust you with our tiny lives, with our church, our community. And we pray that we would follow your lead from this time forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to pass to Jan.
Good morning, everybody. For people who don't know me, why don't you know me? I am a children and families worker at this church. My name's Jan. I'm going to lead us in some prayers this morning. So let's pray. Father God, some days we are so torn. Last week we were torn because on Good Friday, we were so sad because we knew you were going to die on the cross. But we knew that Sunday was coming and that you rose again. We're torn today, Lord, because we're saying goodbye to good friends, but we're eager to see what you have for both Swallowness Baptist Church and for David and Julie. This is a season of change for all of us, and we ask that you sustain us through it and that we're all the more receptive to your voice above all the other voices in all that we do. We're grateful for all the seeds that have been sown. David would always, always seek your voice first. We're thankful for the connections we've made through the community work, the encouragement for each of us to use our gifts and talents, to do church through all our activities, and to journey alongside people. But David has always given you, Father God, the glory. To be courageous, we felt that we could step out in faith and not be afraid to fail, but to trust God in all that we do. I believe even through the years we couldn't meet together here, we were strengthened because we knew God was faithful to us. We also thank you for the work that Julie's done through junior church, through leading worship, through singing, and she'll be missed very much at our house group meetings. We thank David and Julie this morning, Father God, for their support, their love and friendship, and we pray for their new church family, knowing that they'll receive the same love from them. We ask you to bless them as they leave, and pray that when they remember us, it will be with a smile. Take our love with you as you go, and may God smile on you in all that you do. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you. Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's really good to see everyone here this morning on this special occasion. I'd just like to echo Livy's words of welcome, especially to those who are listening also on YouTube. It's good that you're together, that we're together, whether we're here or whether we're somewhere else. Please do stay afterwards. We have a buffet lunch provided, so if you're able, please do stay. Apologies to you guys on YouTube. Technology's not that amazing that it can whisk a cheese sandwich to you. But we'll be thinking about you. We'll be thinking about you. So for anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Carol, and I'm Secretary of the Church and part of the leadership team. And I usually stand here on a Sunday morning to give out the notices, but not today, because I'm here to share a few thoughts and reflections as we say goodbye to David and Julie. Be afraid. Be very afraid. No, I'm not going to embarrass you. Well, maybe a little bit. So it's the end of another chapter in the life of Swanless Baptist Church, but perhaps more appropriate, the end of a chapter in the lives of David and Julie, and the start of a new one for in the place that God's called them to be. David and Julie came to Swallownest in September 2019, and David got stuck in, as we say in Yorkshire, finding his way around the community and getting to know his new church family. Excuse me. I had been part of a previous pastoral care team, and David and I met regularly to update each other on things that we needed to know, but of course not everything is for sharing. Although it's safe to say that David did most of the legwork, doing his best to maintain contact with everyone, especially those who had difficulty physically getting down here to church. Then in March 2020, COVID hit, when the world was turned upside down and the way we did church with it. During the lockdown, we worked hard to keep communication open by text, email, and the good old telephone. David sent out weekly emails and also delivered paper copies to those without internet access. He also delivered recordings of the weekly services, which were very much appreciated. In return, we had lots of lovely emails and phone calls saying how grateful people were with the contacts that were being made. And indeed, we still do today. So in an attempt to stay connected with each other and to try to help with the enforced isolation, we started live streaming our Sunday morning services. And all thanks to our awesome tech team, past and present, who use their amazing gifts and skills to serve the Lord in such a brilliant way. It literally became a lifeline to many. It was quite a challenge because of all the restrictions, which changed often sometimes daily, but with God's help, we did it. The live stream attracted many views on YouTube, as it still does today. And we had some laughs. Each Sunday morning, I gave out the notices from an armchair at the front of the church, aptly known as Carol's Corner. A bit cheesy, but you know. There were a minimum number of people in the building to comply with COVID rules, which was a bit bizarre. But one morning near Christmas 2020, I looked up from my little corner and I saw Janet, who was on the tech desk, and she was wearing a flashing Christmas mask. And I just thought, wow, this is really good. And I just burst out laughing. And on another occasion, I was sitting down here at the front on a little raised platform, and I got my chair a little bit too near the edge. Do you remember this, Rob? And I started toppling back, and everybody was, oh, what on earth's happening? But they didn't come too near me because of social distancing. So I was like, oh, in midair for a while. But no harm was done. And thankfully, we weren't live streaming at that point. Otherwise, it would not have been a pretty sight seeing my arms and legs all over the place. But we need to laugh, don't we, and see the funny side of life, or it really does become a struggle. And as a team, led by David, we've faced many challenges these past few years, but with lots of prayer, God's amazing grace, and lots of laughs, sometimes verging on hysteria, I think, but we've managed to keep going. I really do believe that a sense of humour is a gift from God. So what's a good way to get us laughing?
A good joke? Health and safety, there. We have to be careful. So, who can remember a good joke? I can hear them and then completely forget them. But my youngest granddaughter, Sophie, loves Dad's jokes and riddles, and there are hundreds of them. When we see her get the joke book out, we know we're in for a bit of a long haul, but we go along with it because jokes are meant to make us laugh, or some to make us cringe, don't they? So, I've got a few examples here to see whether we get laughs or groans. So, what happened when the world tongue twister champion got arrested? They gave him a tough sentence. Don't get much better. What did one plate say to the other? Dinner is on me. Why can't a leopard hide? Because he's always spotted. What did the dog say when he sat on sandpaper? Rough. One here especially for David and Julie. A West Yorkshire city has disappeared off the map. Police are looking for leads. Good, isn't it? And to finish, the inevitable. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Hatch.
You.
Bless you. So laughter is good for us in all sorts of ways. Here's a few scientific facts. It enhances our intake of oxygen. It releases endorphins, that's the feel-good hormone, and decreases stress hormones. It protects the heart by increasing the blood flow. It burns calories. Not quite as good as exercise, but every little helps. It lightens anger. How many times have we been really annoyed and cross and said, you just have to laugh, don't you? And the Bible has lots to say about laughter. Proverbs 17, verse 22, the NIV version says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And the Contemporary English version puts it another way, if you're cheerful, you feel good. If you're sad, you hurt all over. That's pretty true, isn't it? And Psalm 2, verse 4, in heaven the Lord laughs. There's no wonder, really, is there? He sees what some of us are doing down here. Psalm 126, we celebrated with laughter and joyful songs when something good happens. And the Sermon on the Mount in Luke 6, God will bless you people who are crying and you will laugh. So when life happens, we face difficult, sad, and sometimes devastating times, and laughing is definitely not on the agenda. And I don't think these scriptures are saying that we should always be laughing by any means. I think what it's saying is that if we can promote a happy, positive disposition, it will be good for us, and we will feel better and more able to cope. Laughter is a positive emotion, an amazing part of our makeup as human beings, given to us by the amazing God who created us in his own image. So, you two lovely people, I hope you have lots of laughs as you travel along this new path that God's leading you. There may be a few tears, but that's life. But remember, we serve an awesome God. His mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Can only speak for myself, of course, but I think I echo the thoughts of many when I say I'm really going to miss you both, and it's been a pleasure and a privilege to serve the Lord just alongside you both. God bless you.
I extend my welcome to you all. My name's Rob, if you haven't met me. Actually, my name is Rob, even if you have met me before. It doesn't change. That's still my name. But I do answer to most things, so you can thank my mother for that. When I was young, it was Tony Andrew Foggy Robert before she even got to me, and Foggy was the name of the cat. So I knew where I was in my mum's brain. Anyway, that wasn't written down. I just thought I'd share. But let me extend my welcome to you, whether it is your first Sunday with us, your first time, or Gene, it might be your 3,000th. I was trying to add up how many it might be realistically. It is really amazing for us to be together, I think, this morning. But it is a little bit of a strange service this morning. I'm sure a lot of us have got some mixed emotions this morning, and not just David and Julie. I know they're really excited this morning about the future, but also sad as well about the end of an era. And I can't possibly speak for all of you, so I'm just going to take this opportunity to speak personally. I'm feeling quite down, quite blue on a human level, that two friends are moving away and we're not going to see each other by any stretch of the imagination as much. I have really appreciated your friendship and your care and your prayerful support of me personally over the last few years, so thank you both. Julie, as Carol said, has been part of our weekly house group. I've spent a lot of time with David. I'm one of the people on the leadership team here, and I greatly value the bond that we've got. Just to let you know what we are going to be doing, I'm just going to be talking for, I don't know, probably 15 minutes or so. There will be lots of opportunity for people to talk and pray with David and Julie as part of the service or later on, if you would like to do that. So if God's putting something that you think that you want to pray with us or with them, then you will have an opportunity to do so. So as David would say, lick your palms and be brave in a little bit. And if anyone does want to go to the loo, if they're not normally here, don't feel embarrassed, because you might not have gone before the service like I didn't. But you can go either that way or that way. It's totally fine. No one will mind. Practicalities. I was on an aeroplane the other day and the emergency exits are here, here and here. But as I said, I'm one of the leadership team here, so I can talk personally, but I can also talk as a representative of the church leadership team. And as such, I'm quite sad that two Christians who have contributed greatly to the life of this church over the last 5 years are leaving. People have already spoken and alluded to it. Julie will leave a void in junior church that the youngsters are going to feel. And I know that we've all benefited from her spirit-led gifting of worship and prayer. I know that David is going to be missed by the leadership team. We'll miss his encouragement, his meticulous attention to detail, his support, as well as his challenges to us. We'll miss his wisdom, we'll miss his focus, and we thank you so much for all that you have done. But with the mixed emotions, I said, with that sadness, there's also happiness. I am, weirdly, also really happy. I'm happy that you are going to an exciting new chapter of your lives, of your ministry. And I'm happy that you are leaving Swallowness Baptist Church in such a good place. And I'm happy that God sent you our way in the first place. And that God bit is really, really important. God sent them this way in the first place, because it's not all about you, whatever you might think. The thing is, this morning, we're not really here to thank David and Julie. We are here to thank God for what he has done through David and Julie. We've got so much to be thankful to God for. And the leadership team, as Olivia and Jan and Carol and I and George and Mark and people have been thinking about this morning, we've been really keen that the honour and the glory is God's this morning. David would be the first person to come up here and tell me off if I forgot to remind you that while it might be us that plants the seeds, it's God that does the growing of those seeds. So I really hope that I don't come across in the next 10 minutes or so as trying to honour David and Julie this morning, because the glory and the honour is God's and God's alone. And it might be rather strange, but with that in mind, I was drawn to a passage in 1 Peter when I was thinking about David and Julie. I shall read it to you now. It will come up on the screen. If you would like to go old school and find it in your Bibles, it's on page 1016, but it will come up. Oh, amazing. Thank you, Janet. It will come up here. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that's what this passage was. So why was I drawn to this passage when I was thinking about today? Well, firstly, it struck me what Peter was saying in verse 10, that each person's gifts should be used to serve one another, and that each person who serves should remember that they serve by the strength of God, and that God should be glorified through Jesus Christ. And David, I'm really thankful that you've done this at Swallow Nest from day one. You have been insistent that none of the work has been about you, but rather it's been about pointing people to God, helping people to see and to feel the love of Christ, and encouraging us all to pour our praises to God. I think that's really important. That passage in 1 Peter chapter 4 is also an excellent one to reflect on, I think, as David and Julie leave. I think it contains instructions for them as they start their new ministry in West Yorkshire, but also for us as we continue our work here in Swallow Nest. So what does it say? Peter was writing about 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, and he was writing with the wisdom of a lifetime of working with what we would call church families. If you're a Christian here this morning, this passage tells you how you can live as one. And if you're not a Christian here, if you're coming to support David or whatever it might be, then, you know, you have got a very special welcome this morning. I hope you'll see in this passage a blueprint almost of what faith in Jesus should mean for a community. Well, my first point is I've mentioned that Peter says the glory should be directed to God. In other words, we must remember that God is great. And how should that shape our lives? This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. We're told that we should live in a way that will make God look as great as he really is. Okay, we should live in a way that will make God look as great as he really is. Now, how we live, it doesn't actually make God any greater or any less great. But what we are encouraged to do is to live in a way that will make him look great rather than appear trivial or pathetic or small. Well, let me just explore that. How do we do that? Let's think of a few examples. If we give in to day-to-day challenges in our life, then we could give the impression to other people that God is unable to carry us through those challenges. If, for example, Julie had given in to the very real pressures of driving 100 miles a day round trip up and down the M1 to work in a school in Northwest Leeds, if she'd have said, "Oh, do you know what? God's made this terrible mistake placing me and David here in Rotherham," then the impression that would have been given would have been to make God look small, or unable to keep his promises, or unwilling to sustain her through the daily commute. So, Julie, I think it's been honouring and glorifying to God to do what you've done over the last 5 years. Another example would be that if we're obsessed with our stuff, our possessions, then we're not glorifying God. What we're saying is, yeah, God's good, but it's not actually enough to really satisfy our souls and our hearts. So how we live can make God appear either great or pathetic and trivial and insignificant. When my boys were smaller, we would sometimes go swimming, especially on holiday. Little kids love playing in the swimming pool. And here's Alex, just about to launch himself into the pool to be caught by me, who's kind of under there. Just imagine if when I said, okay, jump, I'll catch you, he kind of looked at me and he went, no thanks, Daddy, I will use the steps. That wouldn't make me look like a great big strong dad, would it? It would make me look like a wimp. It wouldn't change how strong I was or how capable I was. It would just change what people thought of me if they saw that scene play out. And that's one of the ways I think that David has honoured God during his time with us here in Rotherham. He has repeatedly jumped into God's arms, fully confident that God is strong enough and loving enough to catch him and hold him and keep him and bless him. And I think it's been a wonderful example for all of us in this fellowship. We should all live in a way that demonstrates God's goodness. So God is great, but our time is limited. Time is short. Look down again, if you've got your Bibles, at the passage in 1 Peter 4. I'll remind you what it was. The morning's verses that I just read out start, "The end of all things is at hand." Sounds quite morbid, doesn't it? Quite bleak. Even worse than Sinatra's, "And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain." At least that one's got a good tune. You know, "The end of all things is at hand." But what it's really saying is the next major event in God's calendar is Jesus returning and wrapping all things up. Jesus has come as God with skin on. You can have that one last time. Jesus has lived a perfect life. He's died on the cross as our substitute. He has paid for our sins, and by so doing, he has allowed us to have a relationship with God. He rose from the dead, defeating death, and therefore gifting us eternal life. He's ascended into heaven to pray for us. The next major event in the calendar is that he will return and wrap up time and the world as we know it. And the point of "the end of all things is at hand" is that no one really knows when this will happen. And that means we should all be ready, all the time, dedicated to our faith. That's the attitude that David has encouraged in us. He's done God's work with great urgency, unrelenting focus, and I believe that we are all in this fellowship spiritually better for it. So God is great, our time is limited. Therefore, Peter gives us advice on how to live. And I believe this is advice for David and Julie as they continue up in Haworth. And it's advice for us in this fellowship as we navigate what is to come. Firstly, he says, keep a cool head, be self-controlled and sober-minded are the words that are used. Peter urges us to be calm, not flapping around in a panic, but to be measured, level-headed, mature. He says, keep your head screwed on and have a balance and maturity. Avoid knee-jerk reactions. And there is a reason that is said there. Be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. In other words, be clear-headed so that you can pray properly. There are things, Peter says, that we should be praying about, and being in some sort of emotional blind panic will hinder our prayers. So get your emotions under control, he says. Next, Peter says to have a warm heart. This is verse 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Peter here in this letter is writing to Christians who are tired and stressed. Equally, being left without a minister is tiring and stressful. When stress hits, tensions can rise, sharp words can fly. We all know what that's like from our home lives, don't we? Peter recognises that we don't just need a cool head, but we need to have warm hearts. We are called to love one another deeply, with a pure heart, bearing with each other, covering over one another's annoying stupidities with a blanket of love and forgiveness. Be healers, don't be breakers, he's saying. And that's an important instruction for David, just as it is an important instruction for us as we work through the stresses of the next stage in church life. My final point, I promise I am getting there, is that Peter calls us to have a willing spirit. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. This is the Bible principle that every believer in a church family has been gifted by God himself to play a part in the life of a church family. You can never say as a believer that there is no role for you. And one of the things that the leadership team has loved so much about David's ministry is that he has encouraged each and every one of us to run with our gifts and skills. Thank you. But it's not just a question for church leaders. This is a question for all believers. We're not made to be selfish. We're made to be generous in the way that God was extravagantly generous to us. We're all called to make the church a better place for us being in it. Everyone in a church family has got something to contribute. Peter here talks about speaking gifts and helping gifts. As we at Swallowness move on, let's think about what gifts have we got to do God's work in this place. What gifts do you have that could do God's work in this place? It's already been a real blessing to the church to have people volunteering to preach for specific dates or volunteering practical support. In all our ways, our service is for Jesus, and we help and serve in the strength that God supplies. So as this season for Swallowness Baptist Church comes to an end, and as David and Julie leave us to continue God's work in a different area, we give thanks to God for all that he has done through them. We give thanks to God for each other and that our paths even crossed. We give thanks for all that he will do through them in a different corner of God's kingdom. We give thanks to God for all that he will do in this church, whatever lies ahead. And most importantly, we give thanks to God that he will not leave or forsake any of us as we journey through life. I'm just going to pray. If you are that way inclined, then please pray with me. But if you do not want to, please don't worry. Just sit there and think your thoughts. That is totally fine. Almighty God, we give you all the praise and honour and glory this morning. We thank you so much for all that you have done through David and Julie in this fellowship. We thank you for the calling that you have put on their lives. We thank you for their love for you. We thank you for their obedience in following your call. We pray your blessings over them, over their family, and over their home as they move to Haworth. And we pray that you continue to use them richly in your work. We pray your mighty protection over them and over their new ministry. Father God, as we reflect on what is just about to end, we lift your name on high with thanks that you have plans to prosper us and not harm us. Father, we pray that you guide us and that you lead us in what is to come next. We pray that you give us listening ears and willing hearts to respond to what you are saying. And humbly we ask you that you continue to bless this fellowship in the weeks and months and years ahead. We ask all of this in the confident knowledge that you love us, that you hear us, and that you want the best for us. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to ask David and Julie to come up now. And they've got a few words that they would like to say before we move on.
I think the first thing I want to say is those that may not have been in church before, well done, because you've not burst into flames or been struck by lightning. I think that's one thing to say, but hey, why not come again if all has gone well? Now, in all fairness, these words I heard some 20-odd years ago, it's all by grace. It's all by grace. It was a wonderful woman that said it. She had trouble getting around, but by the hand of God, she did it. And it's all by grace. And that has stuck for many years throughout my journey in ministry, throughout our lives together, Julie and I, and for all that we do. And as Rob rightly said, it is all by grace because it's all by God, not by what I may want or what I would like to do or where I would like to be, because it would probably be some side, other side of the world on a beach lying there doing many other different things, but then that's my choice, not God's. But Rob was also right in saying that God sent us here, and that's true. We are very open and receptive to what God wants for us, and that's not easy. May come across as though it's we just listen and we go and we do. And as I often say, when our palms get sweaty and our hearts are beating fast, lick your palms and get on with it and go forward in where God wants you to be. And it may be in some places different than you what imagined or ever thought of, but yet it's by his grace that he wants you to go. It's by his grace that he calls you. How receptive are you to that call and mission that he has for each and every one? Because whether we believe or not, God is at work. It's how we ignore that call sometimes. That's the hardest thing. The easiest thing is to accept it, to get on and to go forward and to see where and how he wants us to. Because it's not in our strength that we do it, but by his. Because when we are weak, we are strong. We are strengthened by the hand of God upon our lives. And we've testimony to that throughout the whole of our lives, of our married lives, 27 years together, for what God has taken us through, the places he's taken us to, the situations we've faced. We've not faced it alone. We've faced it together with God's hand firmly upon us. And we've been blessed by that. We've been blessed by the 5 years that we've been here, of meeting each and every one of you. And we'll continue to be blessed as we move forward, taking along many fond memories and happiness with us as we go on to our new place. And of course, we say sometimes it's the end of things, but it doesn't have to be the end of relationships and friendships. They'll, of course, continue, because that's the true test of friendships. That's the true nature of them, is that they continue. At the moment, there's a song called Season of the Sticks, and we've heard of seasons and what have you. The reason why I say Seasons of the Sticks, sticks can be useful. They can be useful to beat people out of the way or to do things, but also they can be there to support yourselves upon and to support one another with. I'm joking, we don't beat people with them, although Billy has a different story to that. But there are seasons, and often we find sticks within them. But you find the sticks to support you, and that's with each other. That's what God calls us to do. Again, as Rob has rightly said, and as I've said many times, we all come with different gifts and skills bestowed upon us by God himself. Be open to that and be open to using them to step forward in the boldness and the name of Jesus Christ, to go forward, to see where he leads, to see what he does, because he will guide you, as I've said, maybe to unexpected places, but nonetheless to where you are to be, to the people that you are to be with at the time and the place of his choosing. And so whilst this season, this chapter may draw to a close, I have every confidence, as I've always said, that you are going to go on to do great things because God has got that next thing for you. That is the reason why I feel it was time to go. Because you come to a place and now it's time for that next thing. And there has to be change. And I felt God was saying that we needed to be that change for you to go forward onto stronger, bigger, better things. So buckle up your seatbelts and get ready for the ride that God will take you on next, and be open and loving to the grace that God has bestowed you with, that you're able to bestow onto other people. And so we go with full hearts of thankfulness and of joy, knowing that our relationships will continue. I thank each and every one of you for your love, your support and your prayers in many ways, whether you've realised it or not. To thank you for the journey that we've had, to bless us onto the journey to come. Thank you.
Don't know what else I can say, really. You've said it all. You have. I just want to pray. I just want to pray for each and every one of you here, and I want to pray God's blessing on you and for you, and that this, I know that this building in the people within it are so loving and faithful that God has got a work to do in you and each and every one of you. And I just pray for that unity and that clarity of thought going ahead, so that you can use your gifts and skills, because everyone here has something and a work that God wants to do in them and through them, because he has, because he's not called you home yet. And until God calls you home, he's got a job for you to do here. So I just pray that God will put on each and everyone's heart the job that he wants them to do. And like us, as we step out in a step out into faith, which was God very clearly one day said to me, just step out in faith. You've got to step out in faith. And to step out in that faith takes courage. So I just pray that God gives you the courage that you need when you're seeking a new minister, when you are seeking to do God's will in this area, that he will make your path clear for you. He will make it straight, and he will give you the understanding and the knowledge that you need to step forward, and that you will do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, because there's no other name. There's strength in that name, and there's no other name. And the enemy flees when you call out in the name of Jesus. So if you're fearful and you're worried about the future, and you're unsure about the future, get hold of it, sling it out, because it's no, has no place in your life, and it has no place in this church here. Fear has no place in this church. It has no place in your life, because you are loved. You are loved by God, and he has got you in the palm of his hands, and he's going to do great work within you, however old you are, whether you're the tiniest little being here, or the oldest person. We won't mention ages, but the oldest person. God still has got a work to do in your life. And never, ever dismiss the thought of, what can I do? You've got two hands and a mouth. And one of the most important things you can do is pray, and pray for each other. Love each other. Cost nothing. Love each other. Pray, for each other, strengthen each other, hold each other up in love and prayer and thought, because that's what's carried us through forever, all our time. So just, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will encourage, that you will love, and you will equip each and every person here. So as the sun shines and as the night comes, so you will carry on and the new season will come and God will continue to do a work here. And I know God's got you in his hands, so I thank God that he has got you in his hands and you are ready to glorify his name and do everything in that strength, in that name of Jesus. Amen.
And just to reinforce that, as Christ himself says, that in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor depths, nor height, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
You wouldn't mind staying there. That'd be brilliant. Because the church and, well, various folk have got various things that they would like to say and give you some gifts and bits and pieces. So I think, first of all, Marbeth and Glynis have both got something that they would like to say or give. So please, yeah, come up and...
We presented these gifts to David and Julie on behalf of the Ladies Fellowship at the Baptist Church. We thank you for your input, the times you've come to speak to us. We thank you for all that you've done in our church. And thank you for your prayer, Julie, just now. It touched me a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, I want to thank you, David, for coming to the Ladies Fellowship, and what you brought to us was helpful, challenging, and very encouraging, so thank you. And February was very special because we had Julie come along to our Ladies Fellowship. We've been trying to get her all these years. We managed in February. She came and shared her testimony. So bless you both for coming to the Ladies Fellowship and all you've shared.
Grab the mic.
Yeah.
Thank you. If you would like to stay and pray with people, then you can do. If you want to go and sit down, then you can do. Carol, you've got something on behalf of the church, haven't you, that I think Jean's going to bring. And in a minute, we will we'll have a time of prayer for David and Julie. So if you would like to do that from the comfort of your seats, then you can do. If you'd like to come up, then you would be very happy to do that. But if you'd rather not do any of that, then that's totally fine as well.
I suppose really I should be saying this is a pleasure, but it's not. I never wanted to see the end of you two. We've had a wonderful time with your fellowship. And wherever you go now, I just pray to God that he will keep his arms around you and continue to lead you into the place where he needs you. I love you both. We all do. And it's not a good thing to say goodbye, but God bless you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
If anybody would like to come up and pray with David and Julie for a time, then you are very welcome. It's not a sort of special consecrated place. You can get down. But if you would rather do that from the comfort of your seat or somebody else's, then you would be very welcome also to do that. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you for the work that you have done in this place with David and Julie, through David and Julie. And we want to thank you for the obedient calling that that you've put on their life and the obedient receptiveness that they have got listening to your call. We thank you that they love you and that they want to see you glorified to the extent that they will listen and obey, trust and obey. And so, Father God, I would like to pray that your blessing over them as they leave Swallownest Baptist Church, as they leave Aston, Orton and Swallownest, as they start a new ministry in a new place. I want to pray your blessing over them, their lives, their families, their homes, and their work that they will do in your name. Father God, use them mightily in this next phase of what is to come. And we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, I pray that the Holy Spirit was very real this morning to us, that you'll be real to David and Julie and you'll go with them, but don't forsake us. We know you won't leave us, that the Holy Spirit will do a real work in Swallownest Baptist Church, but that also the Holy Spirit will be with David and Julie as they make new friends. But please be with them, Lord. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Father, please keep your arms around David and Julie. Take them wherever you want them to be this next time. Help them to settle and enjoy their new church. And may they too become a family in the time that they're together. Father God, thank you for the time that David has spent with us and Julie. They're a lovely couple and we just want them to be safe. And wherever they are, we pray that your arms will always be around them, guarding them and guiding them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You and their willingness to go wherever you lead them. We pray, Lord, that your blessing will go with them. We thank you for all they've done in this church and for the encouragement and support that they've given to each one of us. We thank you for the things that they've started here, that they will continue on. We thank you for their great example of life of prayer and seeking you. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to continue the things that they've started. Just bless them as they go to a new place, that place too will welcome them and that they'll grow together. I pray in your name. Amen.
Father God, I just thank you for these friends. I thank you for the love that they've shown us, for the tough love where we needed it. Lord, I thank you for friends who tell you when your label is hanging out. And Lord, as we go forward, I pray that those friendships would not be left behind, but that we would make the effort to still see one another. Lord, place them deeply in our hearts so that we would make that time. In your mighty name, amen. And so, Lord, we wish them well. We place them in your hands, knowing that is a safe place. Use them as you wish to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
So, as everyone's getting back to their seats, we're going to sing two more songs together. The first one, I remember when Julie first told me that they were leaving, she said that God had said to step out in faith. That it was a very, very clear message that actually just put your foot out over the parapet and go, I've got you. And so we're going to sing Oceans. And I want that to be not just for David and Julie, but also for us as a church. Let's just use this as a prayer to trust that God has got us
and he's going to take us where he wants us to go.
We are entering a new time and a new season. The wind will come and it'll batter, but God's new every morning blessing will suffice. The rain will come and we'll feel wet and maybe discouraged, but God's blessing is new every morning, and then the sun will shine. We need God to say, to go forward and believe for what he's telling us, that it is a new time and a new season, but God is with us. Come wind, rain, or sun, God is still with us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, as we go out, we're going to sing one last song. It's a blessing. I want us to sing it over our church, over David and Julie, and over the new place that they're going to. Let's send God's blessing with them. Our service today to celebrate God and what he has done through David and Julie. You'd be very, very welcome to stay for lunch, but if you need to go with our blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.